dismiss the children. Amen to your left. Amen. They're going to go to kids' ministries. Amen. Children's ministries, Sunday school. Amen. And we're going to just continue to have an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of readiness. Amen. Stay tuned. Stay connected. Amen. Don't unplug yet. Amen. Amen. As long as it's plugged in, the iron can stay hot. Amen. Don't unplug yet. Stay connected. Stay connected throughout the service. Stay plugged in.
Yes.
Amen. If you need an extension cord, go get an extension cord. Stay plugged in. Amen. So that we can receive with meekness the grafted word. For it is able to save our souls. Can we greet our pastor with a hearty praise of God?
Season how many know we know the real reason behind the season?
Come on.
And his name is
Jesus.
All right, no one else was participating. How many know we know the real reason behind the season? His name is
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. Amen. Now, some people seen one day above another, but every day we're saved, we are seeing every day the same. Because our God is a good God. We pray that all families are being blessed during this festive time. Amen. And people have a presence of mind to put aside petty differences. Especially when you look at all the catastrophes and disasters that are happening in the world. Amen. It seems like every week there's a new something happening. And I was just reading the news this morning. Over in Indonesia, they had a volcano that turned into a tsunami. And suddenly it went through city and just wiped away buildings, killed people. How many know we're blessed? Or how many of you know we're blessed? So today, if you're in here and you still have a mind, amen, and you know right from wrong, and you're in the house of God, you ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you're here right now, I don't know how bad your situation may be, but when you think of those that have lost their life, those that are suffering all kinds of disasters and catastrophes, you ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus. The Bible lets us know in everything we ought to give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you should be able to say thank you, Jesus. I don't have all that I want, but I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because God is a good God. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you that are here. Amen. I believe Yvette's carrying, sister-in-law, you must have came over the airwaves, right? You didn't ride a bike or drive a car across the ocean, did you? Amen. So we thank God for bringing you safely over the airwaves. And little Alexis, no, she ain't little Alexis, no, yes, she ain't called little no more. Amen. Thank God for bringing her here safely. How many know we just serve a good God? And what's so good about God? God's not good. Sometimes God is good all the time. How many know he's a good God? Amen. Amen. So we do bless the Lord. We do thank God for all that he's doing. So we're going to ask you to stand, amen, for our scripture reading. We're going to go to, we're going to read from three books at this time. Short verses, then we'll come back to it. Now, on Wednesday nights, we've decided that we'll make Wednesday nights more of a question and answer Bible study. Amen. Because there are so many people that are in church. But they don't know all of them, and listen, we don't have all the answers. It's question and answer. So if we ask a question we can't answer, then give us the leeway to look it up and try and get the answer. But how many know in church there's so many people sitting with questions that they never get answered? So we're going to make it an exciting time. I think our last Bible study, we spent the last half an hour or 45 minutes doing question and answer. Amen. When I first got saved, guess what? I had a lot of questions. I've been saved, guess what? I see a lot of questions. Amen. So y'all ask me some questions, and maybe I'll ask you some questions. So we're going to make it more of an exciting time so we have more of a dialogue, not just one person speaking. Amen. How many want to know more answers?
Amen.
Amen. We're living in the time the Bible says when God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Many things that we're doing out of habit. that God never intended for us to do. So we're going to try to do that on Wednesday nights. Amen? So if you have questions, a lot of people ask, well, what is the real meaning behind baptism? Well, if you come on Wednesday night, we're there for the Lord to be here, my panelists. We'll help answer some of those questions. You know, some people ask, well, how do I get the Holy Ghost?
Right.
And turn Wednesday night to a Holy Ghost fire. Amen. So this is a time for you to get expression. Amen. For you to get answers to your questions. They will say amen.
Amen.
So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. The first book we're going to turn to is John chapter 16. We're going to read verses 31 through 33. Then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5 and read verse 4. And then John 14, verse 27, and we'll conclude, and we'll do that for now, all right? We'll conclude with John 14, verse 27. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I had a topic, but I said, no, I won't use that topic, because it might be, somebody might get upset. Amen. So I changed that topic. Amen. Y'all know what that topic was? Bunch of saved elephants in church. Bunch of saved elephants in church. I ain't talking about size. Amen. We ain't talking about size. Right? But I said, I won't use the elephant. But I will use that illustration as we go along, right? Look at somebody say, don't be a saved elephant in church. But we're dealing both a mentality, not a physical person, but a spiritual or mental, amen? So St. John 16, verse 31 reads, Jesus answered them, do you?
Believe.
A whole lot of people say they believe, but Jesus said, do you?
Now
believe. Behold, the hour, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am Lord, thank you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say?
Yes,
man can leave you, but you're not alone. Amen. Well, why aren't you alone? Because the Father is
with me.
We can just stop right there and make it a whole sermon. You are never alone because God is with you. Verse 33 reads, these things have I spoken unto you, that in
me
you might have
peace.
The world is looking for peace. Can't find peace outside of Jesus. Because Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So he said, as long as you're in me, you got peace. And I just wondered today, has anyone got some trouble in mind? Trouble in spirit? Then get in Jesus and you'll find peace. Amen. In the world you shall have. Lord, have you ever seen a time of tribulation? In the world it is today. He said, but be of
good cheer.
That's if you're in him, you can be of good cheer.
Come on.
Because he said, I have
overcome
the world. And now let's go to 1 John 5:4. In me you have peace. Never there was a time where people were so oppressed and depressed. Now, it used to just be older people that went through stuff were oppressed and depressed. Now you got children in elementary school. You got teenagers, you got adolescents, you got young adults that just don't have any hope. Amen. The Bible said, if we're not in Christ, then we have no hope. You want hope? Get in Christ. Hope tells you there's a future. And God has a plan for your name. Amen. 1 John 5:4 reads, for what's so ever. Joy, peace, and to walk through the aisles through the pews. Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Even now, Lord, you know somebody came in this morning needing answers. Lord, somebody came in today needing direction. Lord, somebody came in broken and troubled in heart and spirit. Lord, we ask you to send your word to heal. Lord, we ask you to send the word to heal the broken heart. Lord, send the word to heal the troubled mind. Lord, send the word to heal the troubled spirit. Lord, you said that you sent your word to heal, and that your word will heal, your word will deliver, and your word will set free. Lord, our hearts desire to send the word today, Lord, so that some troubled soul will be set free. And Lord, we ask you to send the word to heal, send the word to deliver. And for this, we thank you for the care we say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe one of the greatest fallacies today in living in this world is that we have the greatest answer to all of our problems. Can we say greatest answer?
Greatest answer.
To all of our problems. And we walk away from that answer when we turn our backs on God. God is the greatest answer to all of our problems. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. Actually, I want to just read one other verse. Can I add another verse? Y'all know I use a lot of verses today anyway. Amen. But can we go to 2 Peter chapter 1? I just want us to read this. I want to read it, and I just want you all to pay attention. Actually, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I'll just use what's on the big screen. Amen. We're living in a very troubled time. But having all the answers all around us. But we neglect that answer, we turn our back or walk away from God. But he said, according as his what?
Divine power.
That divine, what does divine power come from?
God.
According as his divine power has given unto us what?
All
things to do what? Pertain unto him. We can stop right there. Everything about your life and everything about godliness comes from God. So you might have answers today. You can't get an answer to your problem outside of God. All are answers. How many are living? Everybody's living, raise your hand. That seems a trick question, y'all. If you did, raise your hand. All right, that's a trick question. So everybody's living, raise your hand. When everything you want to know about life comes through God, you won't get that answer any other way. Amen. Everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness come through God. Right? Well, you got to have what? The what? Knowledge of him that calls you to glory and virtue. So today, there are so many people in the world looking for answers. And the answer is all around them. The answer is all before them. But they're looking for everywhere else for answer. I'm going to go through some of my scriptures first. Let's go to Isaiah 26, chapter the 3rd verse. All right, Isaiah 26, 3. The answer is all around you, but it's not outside of God. The answer is in. He said, Jesus said, in me you have peace. In me you have joy. In me you have a future with hope. Outside of Christ, the Bible says we're all men most miserable. If you're miserable today, I invite you to get in Christ. If your life is feeling like you've been turned upside down, topsy-turvy, get in Christ. Well, you say, well, when I get in Christ, it ain't going to get better. No, but you'll have a burden there. Right? And they will get better because you'll have an assurance that you're in Christ. Can we say, just say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The reason, thou wilt keep him in
perfect peace.
In perfect peace, who's what?
Mind.
How do you know have peace? Now, if you don't raise your hand, this is an internal question. How many don't have peace? Well, the reason you don't have peace is because your mind is in all of the wrong places. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I know what God says is true. If we read this in the Hebrew, And unfortunately, the translators kind of changed it around. In the Hebrew, it said that he will keep us in English, it says, or in the translation, it says, he will keep us in perfect peace. But if we read it in Hebrew, I didn't know Hebrew. But if you read in Hebrew, he said he would keep you in shalom, shalom. That means he would keep you in the peace of peace. That's what that perfect peace means. He would keep you in, that perfect means peace of shalom. So when you get in God, he would keep you in the peace of peace. So when you're in the peace of peace, how many know? Not even the devil in hell can mess with you. But that will keep them in the peace of peace whose mind is. Well, why is your mind stayed on God? Because he trusts. Right? If you trust in him, you will have the peace of peace. It amazes me. Thank God I'm not talking about none of you all. It amazes me when I meet people that are just in turmoil, mental anguish, anxiety, oppressed, depressed, don't even want to get up and get dressed, don't want to look at themselves in the mirror, and the answer is right in the Word of God. That amazes me. Why would you want to go away from the source of your help? The source of your strength? And look at somebody and say, it's in Christ. But the fourth, now we always stop here. We always stop there. God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is staying on him. Most of us stop there. But it said, because he what? We do what? My question today, if you're trusting God, where is your peace? Amen. If you are trusting in God, where is your peace? Well, the fourth verse adds even more quality to what it, quantity of quality into trusting God. It says, trusting in what? It's on the screen. I put it on three screens, so you can't even miss it. Right? The answer is all around you. You can't even run from it. Trust in the Lord. Somebody said, I started out, but I failed. It didn't say start out quick. It said trust in him how long? Forever is eternity. Now listen, that's a twist in this, right? Because when you trust in the Lord for eternity, the only way you can trust in the Lord for eternity is you have to spend eternity with him. Right? Trust in the Lord for eternity. Well, how can you trust in the Lord for eternity if you're not in him? So if you're going to trust in him for eternity and be with him for eternity, you got to get in him. So trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is? What kind of strength is he? His eternal strength. So when you get in God, you don't have to worry about anything because he is your eternal strength. God will always bring you out a winner at the finishing line. Amen. So now I'm going to go back to our text scripture. I'm going to stay in St. John's 16th chapter for a minute. Now we're dealing with a mindset. A mindset. A mindset, if you're not careful, will mess you up. Right? Because how many of us got saved? Come on, give God a wave off. If you didn't get saved, I encourage you to get saved because that's the greatest peace you'll ever have. Because he said, Jesus said, give me, you will have peace that the world can't give you. Isn't that what we just read? So this, now listen. So if you're in the world, you don't have peace. So how do you get peace? Get in Jesus. Because he'll give us peace that the world can't give us. When the praise team was singing, they said, not only will he give us peace, but he'll give us joy that the world can't give us. And the greatest thing about God giving us the peace and joy, the world can't give it to us, and it can't. The devil can't. So when I get in God, I get some peace. When everything around me is coming down, I have peace. When everybody else is screaming, giving up on God, I got peace. Why? Because I'm in Christ, and I trust in him forever, and he is my everlasting strength. Outside of Christ, you don't have strength. Can we say hallelujah? So our message today is, in Christ, can we say in Christ?
In Christ.
But still thinking and acting
like the world.
Like the world. Can we say it together? In Christ.
In Christ.
All right, listen. I know some of y'all say, well, I don't talk a lot. Say something. Say it loud. I ain't James Brown, so I ain't going to answer the rest of that, right? Say it loud. Come on, in Christ. But still thinking and acting like the world. Now this, you do your own personal examination. Are you in Christ still thinking and acting like the world? Now my wife said, what do you mean by saved elephants in church? Right? What's a saved elephant? We ain't talking about no size. Right? Now listen, y'all should be offended by that anyway, because they always say there's a white elephant in the room. Y'all know ain't no elephant in your house. Right? But we're dealing with what? Mentality. So this is, can I educate you on how they train the baby elephants in the circus? What they do with a baby elephant when it's small, they tie a rope around his neck and they tie it to something that he can't break away from. And he tries to break away from it, then after he flies, he figures he can't break away, he just gives up. So then the next day, they tie him again to something with a rope that he can't break away from. So when they tie it to him, he gets frustrated and just stops. After a while of training the elephant, they don't even have the time to the post anymore. All they have to do is put the rope around his neck. And he said, guess what? I can't break free. Well, that's what's happened to the church. The world has put a rope around a lot of the saints. When I started out, I used to try to break free. I couldn't get free. So the world has put this rope around us, and a lot of us can't break free. Guess what? That big elephant, as big as he was snapped that rope in seconds. But the trainers trained him to think that he could not be free. It reminds me of the proclamation emancipation that Lincoln signed. You know what it means. I didn't even know. Y'all don't put me off. Y'all get through. Y'all stream the rest of the emancipation, proclamation, whatever. We were free. I don't know why I said that we were made free. Emancipation proclamation. All right. Well, he signed what did that end up that abolished what? Slavery. So after slavery was abolished, they kept going to the slaves saying, you're free. But guess what? The system had trained them to be slaves. So even though they were free, they didn't know what to do because they had been trained to be slaves. So they would ask them, say, why are you still here? You're no longer a servant. You no longer have a master. They said, because I was trained to be free. Well, Jesus has set us free, but the world has made us slaves to a system that God never intended us to be slaves to. So we have been liberated. We have been spiritually set free, but we're still thinking and acting like the world. How can we be in church? How can God have set us free, but we're still in bondage? Because the world has trained us. Amen. So how do I break this training? How do I break this bondage? How do I break this slave mentality? You know, you hear when people say, I'm not your slave. We are all the world's slaves if we're not in Christ. Because the world every day is training and teaching us, you are dependent on me. And as long as you're trained by the world to be dependent on the world, you'll never depend on Jesus. All right, so do we understand? That's what a elephant mentality is. You can be a big elephant. An elephant will run through these walls and knock half the wall down. But the minute you put that rope on them, they've been trained. Guess what they do? They won't do anything because of the training. My question today is, if God is in you, he has set you free, because the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. He whom the Son set free is what? Well, why is the church so bound up? How can you be bound up when you've been set free? Look at somebody and say, take the rope off of them. You got to take the rope off. The chain, whatever it is. The rope, the chain, take something off. Because as long as you got it around your neck, you're bound to something. And when, as I read, I said, that's amazing. In the beginning, they tied the rope to the post. But after they trained them so much, they just put the rope on them and threw it on the ground. Can you imagine? understand what kind of system that is? That you're enslaved to something and you can be free? We should all want to, how many want to be free?
Yeah.
I know a lot of us say, I'm free, I can do what I want to do. Listen, the world has a strong bond. I don't care how much you purpose to break it. You're not free. Amen? But Jesus asked them in the 31st verse, he said, do you now believe? And I just want to skip down to the 33rd verse of the 16th chapter. This is where I'm going to spend a few minutes here. Amen? These things, he said, have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have
peace.
What do we get peace at? So if you're outside of Christ, I don't care how pretty your smile is. I don't care how much you smile on people's faces. If you're not in Christ, you don't have true peace. Because how can you have peace without the Prince of Peace? How can you have peace if you are never dealing or keeping your mind stayed on God to give you perfect peace? So, you know, we all focus on everything that's wrong instead of focusing on who can solve all of our problems. How many know that Jesus is the answer? For the world today, above him, there is no other. Jesus. Yeah, a lot of times they say, well, no, I got a degree, I got all this. Listen, I went to school, I did all this stuff too. But I was still bound to mess up. I remember being at RPI, and I, not the global level, but I remember being at RPI, and I used to talk to God, I said, God, there has to be something better than this. I was on the dean's list, making all the A's, and all this stuff still seemed like something was missing. I didn't really get peace or freedom until I got in Christ. No one in the songwriter said, I never knew it could be until it happened. Now I can tell you about the joy that I had. Now I can tell you I was bound, but now set free. I never knew it could be until it happened. Oh, you have that testimony too if you get in Christ. Can we say hallelujah? All right, so we're going to, can we teach, preach? And I still keep the time down.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm saying we have to break the mentality that we have enslaved us. We have to break that mentality. We've been liberated, but we keep going to the master of this world. Who's the God of this world? Satan. Right? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the eyes have been blinded through unbelief. So when you're in Christ and you don't have true faith to believe, Satan blinds you. Satan deceives you. Let the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ shine unto you. So if you're in Christ and you don't believe, you have been blinded by the devil. And then you say, well, why is my life falling apart? Why is everybody else seem to be happy? How can I go to church and people are shouting and praising God and I sit there and I don't feel nothing? You got to get in Christ. When you get in Christ, you get peace. When you get in Christ, you get freedom. When you get in Christ, you want to live right. When you get in Christ, you want to live right. So the latter portion of this verse, we're going to spend a few minutes. In the world, you should have. Listen, how many of all of us living in the world right now? He said, you're going to have
tribulation,
but be a
good cheer.
He said, I have
overcome
the world. Now we're going to come to this in a moment. Can we go to St. John, the 17th chapter, the 9th verse? So in the world, we're going to have
tribulation.
He said, but be a
good cheer.
Listen, don't just be cheerful. We need to have some good cheer. He said, because I have overcome the world. Well, that word for overcome is that learn the basic parts of verbs, like what is perfect tense, imperfect tense. You need to learn all of that because it tells you a message if you don't know it. But overcome is I'm going to just give you that when we go to John 17. Overcome is the Greek word nikao, N-I-K-A-O. All right, nikao, from which we get our word, obviously, Nike. Right. Mighty means to be overcome or to be victorious. But Jesus said, I have overcome. That's in the perfect tense. Now, when it's in the perfect tense, that means he's done it in the past and he's still doing it today. circumstance. He did it in the past, and he's still doing it today. So the same way that he overcome in the past, he's overcome today. Well, how is he overcoming? Through his body. Who is his body?
The church.
So we overcome today through his body. John 17 and verse 9 reads, this is Jesus as he's dealing with those that are around him and his disciples. He said, for I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am. God said, when you live right, guess what? You glorify me. The scripture said, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and what? So when we live without that slave mentality of being entrenched in the world, we glorify God because we have good works. But if we don't live right, we don't have good works, we can't glorify God. So if you're in Him and you live right, you'll let it shine. And then you'll glorify God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And now I am no more in the world. About that. He said, I'm no more in the world. Guess what? I'm no more in the world. If you're really saying you're no more in the world has no dominance over you. The world has no power over you because you're in Christ. And Jesus said after he resurrected, he said, all power.
Yes.
Can we say all power? In the world. But if you're in the world, you have problems. You have challenges that you cannot solve by yourself. So he said, well, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy and a lot of people don't realize that they're being used by the world to try to hold you back and get you out of Christ because they don't let them put the rope on you. Don't let them bind you up. Don't let them hold you back. The highest high or the greatest high you ever have is being in Jesus. Amen? He said, because they are not of the world, for the world will not love you if you're in church. Well, that's my family. It doesn't make a difference. They still in the world. Now we still love them, but they're in the world, alright? Even as I am not of the world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them, but that thou shouldest what?
Keep them from the evil of the world.
Keep them from the what?
Evil.
Why? Because they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We have to recognize or come to knowledge or grips to the fact that we can't think and act like the world because we're in Christ. God has set us free. Amen. I know when I got saved, I was 19 years old. But listen, I had a lot of problems. Hey, I know you teenagers, all y'all young people, how many of you are young people? Let me see my young people. If you're under, you think, all right, young people know how to disguise stuff. Just like I was just reading, they got some young people just going to be
suicides and movie stars and actors, they were disguising stuff. Young people know how to disguise. You don't really have peace without the Prince of Peace. Like, I don't care how much money you have. Billionaires and millionaires commit suicide too. You know why? They don't have peace. Your only peace won't come through your finances. It won't come through a relationship, but it will come through a relationship with God. Amen? He said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said, now the only way that you can get this, he said, now sanctify them to thy truth. Well, what is true? Thy word is true. If thou keep thy mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. So the only way that you have sanctification, the only way you have liberty is you have to stay in Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. So if you don't read the word of God on a daily basis, how do you have?
You with me?
You have to read his word to have truth. Amen. Now I'm going to read some. Let's go back to St. John's 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. Jesus is speaking to them and he's trying to educate them of why you can't be tied to the world. Because the world will keep you all mixed up, messed up, and confused in your mind. The only way, listen, I don't care how much education you get, I don't care how bright you get. I remember being in school, I took logic and argument and all that other stuff. Yeah, you know about that. You're in college too. We're in college. One of my college students, Gio in college. Oh, college. Everybody's in college. College. Where I took logic and argument, right? They get A, E, B. Y'all remember the Dillon? A equals B. And B equals C. Then A equals C. Logic and reason. When it comes to God, you can't use logic and reason, right? Because I got that class a couple of weeks ago. I did not forget. Because the example of being illogical was using people that got the Holy Ghost and speaking tongues. Wait a minute, you picking up my faith. I went to my academic advisor, class dropped. They said, why? So they teach you stuff that I don't believe. Right? How you gonna tell me that if I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm speaking in tongues, that's illogical because nobody told you how to speak. Logic and reasoning. The Bible said, beware. Hey, we got all over the place. I'll say what's going on. The Bible said, beware, lest enemy and spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit. Right? After the rudiments of this world, after the what? Tradition of men. I dropped that course because that course was teaching me to act contrary to God. So you have to be careful. The world teaches you to act contrary to God. The true world teaches you not to trust God because the world teaches you to be your own boss, to have your own power and make your own decision. Guess what? Two forces will enforce every decision you make in life. Either is the God or is the devil. There ain't no in between. Your influences, you say, well, I did this. Well, in order for you to make a decision, something had to train you. Something had to teach you. So if God can teach you, who taught you? Well, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus said, in me, you have peace. In me, you have joy. He said, in me, you're not of the world. And he said, the world will not love you or the world will hate you. Why? Because you're not in him. So the world teaches you to act how? Contrary to God. Let me get through this. So in the world you should have tribulation. Tribulation is a Greek word that means you're going to be crushed. I'll spell it for you because I can't. It's called ellipsis. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Ellipsis. Right? And that is a tongue tie. Tribulation. In the world you're going to have what? Tribulation. Now, tribulation means you're crushed, it's back-breaking, heart-stopping afflictions. Tribulation in the world is trouble with a capital T. In the world, you're going to have what?
Tribulation.
In Christ, you're going to have?
Tribulation.
Well, how do you know? The Bible says, Paul said, he went from confirming the souls of the saints in Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the saints and encouraging that we shall through much tribulation do what? Enter into the kingdom of what? God. So in the world, you have tribulation. In the church, you have? But the difference between the church and the world is, in the world, you carry your own tribulation. In church, you have a tribulation carrier.
Yes.
And his name is?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. So that's what tribulation is. But then he said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And as I said, that word for overcome is nikeo. It means that you have the victory over the world if you're in Christ. My question is, if you're outside of Christ, how do you have victory? Because that means the world has you under its dominance. Are you under the control of who? The world. Amen. Paul tells them in Acts, the 8th chapter and the 37th verse, he says, they and all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, who loved us? Jesus. So that means that that's another form of nikeo, but that's uber nikeo. It means you are overwhelming victorious in Christ. How many want to be overwhelmingly victorious?
Amen.
You got to get in Christ. The world will just put pressure on you and hold you back and try to stop you from going forward. So we can't be in church thinking and what? Acting like the world. There has to be a difference. Amen. So now the seven churches in Revelation all had the same command at the end of it. He that what?
Overcome.
But then he tells us how we have to overcome. Let him that has that ear hear what the
Spirit.
All seven churches are all the way to overcome, they had to hear what the
Spirit.
Well, why do you have to hear the Spirit? Because the world is trying to tell you opposite of the Spirit. You can't get victory in yourself. The only way you can speak victory is through the what? Spirit of God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So today, how many really want to be free?
Amen.
How many want to bonds, those chains, those ropes that's been holding us down? How many want to be free?
Amen.
Jesus said, in me you will be free. Outside of me, even though you think you're free, you're not free. Because you'll do stuff that you know is wrong because you don't have the power. The scripture said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you into what?
All truth.
Well, how come I don't have the truth? Because you need the Spirit to lead and guide you. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I just want to, can I touch on a couple of more scriptures before we close? I know it's been a little lengthy, but we need to realize that our true victory comes in us not thinking and acting like the world. I pray, listen, pray this prayer every day. Say, Lord, if I've been thinking and acting like the world, change me. If you're sincere, say, Lord, if I've been thinking and acting like the world, change me. Then when you ask God to change you, you'll have peace. And not just regular peace, but what kind of peace?
Perfect
peace. If you get in Christ like you ought to, you will have perfect peace. I'm going to close in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. We want to overcome. You cannot overcome unless you're in Christ. You cannot overcome by your own power. The Bible says, by might shall no man prevail. By what might? You can't do it by yourself. By might shall no man prevail. Not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit we can prevail. As long as you've been fighting your battle, you're losing. No matter how much you purpose, you're going to lose. 1 Peter 4:3-13 reads, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ. Everybody said, what you just said, you don't have problems. The scripture never said that.
All right.
The Bible never said that. Now we got some popular teachers and preachers telling you that. But God never said that. He never said that you won't have problems once you get saved. Amen. As long as you're part of Christ's suffering, then when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Will everybody turn their back on me? Be happy. You're doing it for who? For Christ. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is. Yeah, we have people talk some bad stuff about people in church because they don't understand. They need you to show them the right direction. They don't understand. So you need to help them see. Amen. On your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a what? Busybody in other men's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be, but let him. So your suffering, your trial, just glorify God. Right? Everything looks bad. God told the, if we all stand, God told the children of Israel in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I think. Right now, God knows the thought that he thinks for all of us. He said, thoughts of what? Peace. God never intends for us to have trouble. And then if you do have trouble, he said, guess what? I'll get you out of the trouble. Amen. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Well, how do I have an expected end? How do I have peace and not trouble? We have to get in Christ. As long as you're outside of Christ, you're going to have torment. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles. You won't find the answer because all the answers to life's problems are in Jesus. I don't care how much money you make, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. All of your answers to life's problems are in Jesus. Amen. Now listen, this is what to think, 1 Corinthians 14:33 said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In God, he doesn't give you confusion. God gives you peace. So my admonition is for us, we in Christ. We need to stop thinking and acting like the world is.